You are listening to the CMC Podcast. Join us each week for messages designed to equip, inspire, and motivate. And now for today's message from Pastor Tim Brooks.
Well, are you ready to receive the word today? Turn to Galatians chapter 5. I want to welcome all those that are joining us on podcast. Wherever you are, we are thrilled to have you today. You made a good decision when you came to church, when you tuned into our podcast. Has anybody in here seen our first video podcast that is now up? Boy, that's exciting news. We've been working and working and working, trying to get the bugs and the details worked out of our camera work. So those that join us week in and week out on podcast, you can now, if you want to, tune in and video. You can watch what goes on here. So we're excited about the new addition of not only just being able to hear our podcast, but be able to watch our church service as well. Here we are pursuing a life of holiness. That's our theme for this year. Our scripture has been 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. That's a pretty clear mandate. There's not a lot of ambiguity in you must be holy. I mean, we pretty much can get that. That's a clear mandate that God has given us. This year we've been talking about what holiness is, what to look for, what keeps us from holiness. And we've been looking a lot at what steals our holiness. Matthew chapter 7 verse 15 says to beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. Okay, first of all, there are vicious wolves out there. And number two, they come disguised. So if they're disguised, how are we supposed to know them? How are we supposed to know what is a wolf and what is sheep? Verse 16, you can identify them by their fruit. That is, by the way they act. We, to live holy, have to be fruit inspectors. We have to be close fruit inspectors because there are wolves that are disguised. Well, what kind of fruit am I looking for? The title of today's message is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. Turn to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. It lists the fruit of the Spirit. If you truly have God's Spirit in you, then you will bear this list of fruit. Now, if you don't have these nine, then we can know you're not the real deal. The question is, are you the real deal here, or are you in some kind of disguise? And there's only one way to tell. There are nine that will be hanging off of your tree. Many go to church, many sing, many worship, many help out, many volunteer. There are a lot of folks that volunteer for youth and children's activities all over the world. But are you the real deal? Or are you doing all of that in some kind of disguise? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 says, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit. When the Holy Spirit resides in you, then there is fruit. Here it is. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There are nine. There are nine attributes that need to be manifest in our lives. I want to look at these nine today. The first one, let's dive into this, is love. Let's ask ourselves, is love growing in your life? Do you love? Is this a pursuit of yours? The Hebrew word for love is to give. Now, I want you to know everything that God has, everything that God has, the devil always has a substitute or a counterfeit for the things of God. And you need to know that. The opposite of love is the word lust. And that means to get. So the word lust is a counterfeit of the devil to replace love in our heart. Now the devil's counterfeit, lust, it looks a whole lot like love. It's mistaken for love. It is thought of by many as love. But the fact is, it's completely opposite of love. Love gives. Lust is about getting. Girls, be careful. When a boy says, I love you, does that mean he wants to buy all that you need? Does he want to buy you a house? Does he want to buy you a car? Does he want to pay all of your bills? Maybe he ought to rephrase that and say, I lust you. Because all he wants is to get from you. Love desires, I want to give to you. Lust desires, I want to get from you. Now, it's hard for a self-centered, self-gratifying culture. All of the motivation comes from a desire to get. We are being programmed about my wants, my needs. Advertising commercials tell us what you deserve. You deserve to have this. We're programmed to be consumed with I, my, me. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. It is a fruit of the Spirit of God. Love is the opposite of lust. Lust is to get. Love is all about giving. Unless the Spirit of God dwells in a person, they're not going to have this fruit naturally. Your natural birth, what we refer to as your first birth, your natural birth, what you got here is very me-centered. It's my bottle, my diaper, I want to be rocked, I want to be held. Your natural first birth is very me-centered, and we grow up as a result of our first birth with no thought of others, no real love for others. The fundamental foundation fact of Christianity comes a few pages earlier in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. The foundation of Christianity is not going to church. That's what we do. The foundation of Christianity is not giving our money to further the kingdom of God. That's what we do. The foundation of Christianity is a crucifixion of that self and Christ living in us. It's no longer me and my and I want. It's what does God want inside of me? That's the basis of Christianity. And as we look at the word love, I'm not really sure how this fruit can be in your life without a dying to self and a dying to self-centeredness and a new life that centers on Christ and his desires for our life. Galatians 5:22, the first fruit. Jesus comes into our life, you will begin to experience a love. Jesus, come into your heart. The Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of you. The result of that is love is hanging on your branches. You'll begin to have a love for life. You know, there are people that show up at a party and it's all about what they can get. This was fun. This wasn't no fun. Do you show up and give to that party to make it fun? Do you go to church? Well, I don't like this church. Well, I like this church. Or do you show up to church and give to that church? Are you a giver to your family's success, a giver to the home, a giver to your kids, a giver to your mate, or are you a taker? See, do you operate in love or do you operate in lust? You never had this before because you probably couldn't feel this before because life was all about you. Until you have a dying of self and life becoming about the God that lives on the inside of you, now you become love-centered and not lust-focused. Joy. Do you live your life with joy? Do people see you and wonder what your secret is? Why are you always happy? Joy is your mode of operation. Each day you're full of joy, a well of joy that springs up inside you. Joy is a fruit that the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. It doesn't come from a new car or a new house or a new mate or a new video game. Joy is a lifestyle. See, a new car or a new this or a new that, that can be a quick thrill, but very quickly it's not new anymore, it's old. Do you live in joy? When the Holy Spirit resides inside you, joy comes from the dwelling of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. So whether your waitress brings you your food on time or whether your waitress brings it late, they spill coffee at your table or they don't spill coffee at your table, you're still happy about life. See, your joy does not depend on all the people every single day doing exactly what you want them to do. Now, things happen. You go outside and you have a flat on your car. You have no air in a tire. Man, I wish that hadn't happened. I wish I hadn't spilled that. I wish I hadn't done that. But I'm still living in joy because my joy was not dependent on air being in my tire. So when the air is not in my tire, then I haven't lost my joy, because joy didn't come from whether I had a new outfit or a new pair of shoes. The new pair of shoes were nice, but my joy comes from the Lord. Everything that happens all day long does not determine your joy. Joy is a fruit. It's a result. The Holy Spirit lives inside you. For a life with no Jesus in you, your only source of joy is what just happened. You got to see this. Well, if you have no Jesus on the inside of you, then the only source of joy is a new car. Well, when you drive it home and it's no longer new, then your joy is gone. See, joy becomes very elusive. Joy becomes very temporary in our life, because it is totally dependent on everything and everybody around you doing exactly what you want them to do. And I don't know if you've noticed it, but that seldom occurs. People just very rarely do what I want them to do. But for a life with Jesus on the inside of you, your joy comes from Him, and it's independent of the things that are happening around you. Then joy becomes a stable factor in your life. When the continual presence of the Holy Spirit is in your life, your joy comes from that presence. And the ups and the downs of daily life don't alter your level of joy, because your joy is not dependent on external situations in your life. Peace. We live in a fallen world, and things just happen. People are not perfect. Even people who you love, even your best friends, people who are closest to you, will hurt your feelings. They will hurt your feelings. They will say things that make you cry. They will. I don't know if you noticed this, but when sin entered the world, we got kicked out of the garden. And since then, life ain't perfect. And people aren't perfect. And the longer you look for people to be perfect, the longer you will continue to be disappointed in your life. When you are aware that people are not perfect, when you quit looking to people to be the source of your peace in your life, you begin to have peace, because the Holy Spirit lives inside you. Right now, let's just practice. Let's just practice a little bit. Sit in your chair. Roll off the cares of this day. Roll off what's pressing you about this next week. Roll off what happened. Just begin to take a deep breath. Everyone, let's close your eyes. Everybody close your eyes. Raise one hand. Everybody just raise a hand in here. Roll the cares of last week off. Just take in a deep breath. I just roll the worries of that off of me. Repeat after me. Jesus, you are Lord of my life. Holy Spirit, you're my counselor, my guide, my revealer of truth. You direct me. I have your wisdom. I have your mind. You have seen me through many crosses before. And tomorrow and what it brings, you'll see me through that. Peace just come right now. Your situation didn't change one bit. You just feel better, don't you? Your situation didn't change. What happened last week, what you're facing next week, is still ahead of you. But you can just experience peace, because you are drawing from the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. And you don't have to be in church on a Sunday morning for peace to come. You can do just what we did right then in the front seat of your truck going to your next appointment. You can draw in peace in the morning while you're drinking coffee, regardless of what your day is facing, what's going to happen. You can bring peace into your life, because your source is the Holy Spirit that lives inside you. Peace, it's a fruit of the Spirit. The fourth one is patience. As a pastor, as a teacher of God's Word, I teach on what I know. I stay away from topics I don't know. People in this church are always asking me, won't you teach on the end times and Revelation? My answer is, I don't know nothing about that. I don't know anything about that, so I don't teach on that. When you come here, here's what you will hear. a sermon on what I know about. We're at patience. We're going to move quickly to the next one. I see this as a fruit of the Spirit, and I am working to manifest this in my life. The longer I walk with the Lord, the more patient I am getting. Those of you who roll your eyes at me now, you should have known me 30 years ago. I was a tyrant to be around. My impatience was intolerable by everybody that was around me. So I'm much better than I was. Thank you for asking. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. And I'm going to have to walk in patience. And I tell myself that countless times throughout the day. You're going to have to work this into your... Come on, some of you say this with me. I will walk in patience. That wasn't very convincing. Some of you get a little more convinced. Come on, help. I will walk in patience. So that's what I say to myself. I will walk in patience. I'm going to develop this fruit because I have not had this in the past in my life, but I'm going to start having it. When the Holy Spirit resides in you, the fruit of that is kindness. The fruit of that is kindness. Now, it's very hard for the unsaved. For the person who is self-centered and not God-centered, it's hard for them to be kind to others because we are self-centered and life is all about me when I'm self-centered. So it's hard to be kind to other people. You know, when we love, the first fruit that we mentioned, our thoughts are on others, on their needs, on their wants, on their desires, and that will cause a kindness to others to come to your life. But with no Jesus, a person full of self, a person full of selfishness, it's very hard for that person to show kindness. Kindness leads us right to goodness. They go hand in hand. As we are kind to others, then we are naturally good to others. Goodness is a result of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is another fruit that's just not produced with a self-centered, not a God-centered person. We get afraid that somebody's going to get ahead of me, and so I can't be kind to that person because they're getting a new car and I'm not. They got a new house and I didn't. They got a boyfriend and I don't have one. Well, Tim, I know good people that are not Christ-centered. If you'll notice, they're only good to people when it benefits them. Look at who they're good to. They're good to a rich person, but they're not that good to a poor person. See, they're good to this person because they want them to come to work for them, but I'm not good to this person because I don't need this person. See, you notice you're only good to people who can do something for you, but you're not really good to people who can't do anything for you in any way. It's hard for a self-centered person to truly be a good person. Goodness comes from a crucifixion of self and a desire to see others benefited. You can be good to others because God has enough to go around. See, without God in your life, and I see this taught in a lot of education today, I see it taught that there is a limited amount of food, there's a limited amount of air, there's a limited amount of resources, so we don't need to have any more kids. We have too many more kids, and then there won't be enough to go around, and we teach a limited concept of creation. God sees the more people born, the more people there are to produce more food for other people. In my life, I personally will raise a whole lot more cows than I will eat. So it's more food because I was born than less food because I was born on this earth. See, that's God's plan. But when you don't have God's understanding of creation, then life is very limited. Life is limited. So if I see you get blessed, that's less blessing there is for me, and so I'm jealous because you got blessed. See, when you advance, then that takes away something from me, and so I'm greedy, I'm jealous. I can't be happy for you. I can't be kind to you. I can't be good to you because you may get something that I want. When you are full of the Holy Spirit, when you understand the limitlessness of God, the all-powerful God that we serve, I can be blessed when you get because there's more out there for me to get. I can be happy for you to have a blessing because there's plenty of blessings for me to have. When I understand the power of God and God is alive and working in me, then I can be happy that you've got a girlfriend because there's another girlfriend. For I can be happy that you've got a boyfriend or whatever it is. We don't walk in jealousy and greed and we're not mean to other people. We're happy for everybody because we understand God has enough blessings to go around. When the Holy Spirit resides in you, then you can show kindness. You can show goodness to others because nobody is a threat to you. The next one, faithfulness. So many places in Scripture we could turn to talk about faithfulness. Our receiving of more is determined by our faithfulness in what we have. I mean, scripture after scripture we could look at about the faithfulness that we are supposed to walk in, that we are supposed to demonstrate. But as I thought about faithfulness, without the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, when yourself has not been crucified with Christ, when self is still alive and well, it's hard to be faithful at a job because I don't want to go to work today. I don't feel like getting up and going to work. I got a headache today. See, your headache determines whether you go to work or not. How you feel determines whether you go to work or not. Whether you want to determines whether you go to work. But whenever you have died to self and God is on the inside of you, then you go to work because people are dependent on you whether you have a headache or not. Whether you have a backache or not, you get up and you go to work because people are dependent on you and there are things that have to be done. You can be faithful to a job. You can be faithful to a mate. Whenever you still are full of selfishness, myself wants this one, myself wants that one, myself decide I wanted this one today. See, you can't be faithful to a mate until you die to selfishness and you become alive to God. You can't be faithful to kids. I wanted kids, but now I got them, I don't want them. I tell you all this all the time. All of you kids counting the days till you can leave home, your parents are counting the days till you can leave home too. We don't want you anymore. You were cute when we held you and rocked you and, oh, baby, boo, 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 but you ain't cute anymore. I don't want kids. See, it's only when you die to self that you're able to be faithful to your kids. It's only when you die to yourself that you can be faithful to your church. When you come to church, things don't suit you. This is not like you like it. I don't like this music. I don't like sound. It's too cold in there. They won't turn there up. It's too hot in there. He has those other guys preach, and they're always bad. I only like it when Tim preaches. I ain't coming unless he's there. I understand that. I get it. It's only when you die to yourself that you can be faithful to church. That you can be faithful to church. See, faithfulness is a fruit that the Spirit lives in you because you're no longer driven by, I don't want to be married anymore. I don't want to have kids anymore. I don't want to go to church today. I don't want to get up and go to, I don't want to. See, fruit of faithfulness hangs on your tree whenever you've died to yourself and the Holy Spirit resides inside you. Gentleness. You know, a selfish person is hard. Selfishness is cruel. Selfishness is mean. I'm telling you, there's nothing like a baby that wants its diaper changed right now. I'm talking, there's no gentleness there that wants their bottle. There's no gentleness in there. That natural, that first birth does not birth gentleness in a baby. There's nothing gentle about a baby when I want this, I want to be held, I want to be rocked, I want this. There's no gentleness. The first birth does not produce gentleness. And that baby is 2 and 3 and 4 years old. Boy, there is no gentleness in a 4 year old. You give them a toy and they tear it up before they walk away from you. Tear the wheels off of it. Tear the roof off of it. Good grief. It's tore up. You tore the thing up. Not gentle. Watch a mom in a shopping cart with a four-year-old tell her, no, you can't have that, and see the gentleness just naturally come out of that child. Only problem with that 3- and 4-year-old is they become 14 and 15 and 16-year-old. There's no gentleness in a teenager. They drink all the milk. They leave the top off. They put the door, leave the door of the refrigerator open. There's no thought about anybody else. They take a shower till all the hot water's gone and get out. No thought. I mean, no gentleness in a teenager. The only problem with that teenager becomes 26, 28, and we see them every night on the news. No gentleness. See, that first birth, that natural birth, does not produce. Gentleness is a result of a dying to self and the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. Number 9, for those that are counting, you can think, dear Lord, we're finally to the last one. Good indication the sermon's about over, but it's not. I'm going to drag it out a little further. Self-control. I can tell you for sure and for certain, first birth, your natural birth, does not produce this one. There is no self-control for a 6-month-old. None. There is no self-control for a 2-year-old. There is no self-control for a 6-year-old, for a 16-year-old, for a 26-year-old. The prisons, the drug houses, they're full of no self-control. The news every night is full of incidences where no self-control was there. Alcoholics, drug addicts, depression, addiction, anger management, classes, abuse, battered shelters, all of these are a result of no self-control. When a person is crucified with Christ, nevertheless they live, yet not I, but Christ that lives in me, a fruit of that happening is self-control. Self-control. Self-control is a result of you dying to yourself. Let me tell you, that raging first birth, that lust of the flesh, there is no controlling that old man, that old sin nature. There is no controlling that. That's why Jesus said, you got to be born again. You must be born again. You're going to have a second birth because you don't have the fruit of the Spirit. You don't produce this lifestyle on your own. That first birth, your natural birth, doesn't produce a godly lifestyle. You got to be born again. It's a dying to the self, a resurrection to live anew with Christ that produces a new life in you that really is not possible when you're limited to what the first birth can provide you. Galatians 5:22. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When the Holy Spirit of God dwells in you, there is a lifestyle change. It's a lifestyle change. Holiness is seen in your life. What is holiness? It's being like God, who is holy. Holiness is seen in what Galatians 5 calls fruit. Fruit is evident in our life. My wife planted tomato plants. And I'm telling you, she planted these tomato plants, and today, now this was some time ago, I know for sure and for positive, for certain, there's no doubt in my mind that she planted tomato plants. You know how I know? There's tomatoes hanging all over them. Was that person a Christian? They go to church. Did she have tomato plants? There's no doubt about them being tomato plants. You see a long way off their tomato plants because there are tomatoes hanging all over them. There are tomatoes hanging on every branch. How do we know imposters, game players? There's fruit. There's evidence that begins to grow in a life over time that has made Jesus Lord of their life. You know, the healthier that plant is, the more fruit it produces. This year, are we growing in holiness? Are we growing in these 9 attributes? These 9, we'll call fruit, that the Spirit is on the inside of us. You know, when my wife Terry sees her tomato plants not producing, but she swings into action. I'm telling you, we're watering, we're fertilizing, we're miracle growing, we're seven dusting, we're getting, we're dusting for the worms. Now look, make sure you get this. My wife does not produce tomatoes. The plant does. You don't produce this. The plant does. But here's what she does. She kills the worms. She provides the food. She provides the nutrients. She does the fertilizing, the watering, and tomatoes are a result of the effort that she's put in. Without her, you're not going to produce these in your life. It can't come from the first birth. But if you'll, are you getting this? As you read these nine fruit of the Spirit, here's what I want you to know. There are worms that will eat your fruit. Poison them. Poison the worms that are eating your fruit. There are nutrients that are required for fruit. Feed them. Come on, feed yourself. Feed yourself. The fruit requires water. Ephesians refers to the word as water. Water. I mean, put water on yourself. And when Terry walks out and sees her plants wilting, she doesn't laugh. She doesn't roll her eyes. I don't have any tomatoes today. She swings into action. I want to encourage you. Don't say, well, I'm not this. Well, I'm not kind. I tell you right now, it's never been one of my strengths. I won't be accused of being gentle. Don't laugh. Don't roll your eyes and say, I don't have any tomatoes. Swing into action. Swing into action. Church, see in these nine where you're lacking. See areas in your life that you need to work on. Begin to fertilize that area. Water that area. Kill the worms in that area. Swing into action, because we all want the fruit of the Spirit in our life. Y'all stand with me. Lord, today we thank you for your word of direction for us. That we, as we die to ourselves, as we crucify that first birth and that old nature, Lord, that we live our life with fruit hanging off of our tree. Lord, thank you for delivering us and setting us free. May our life be lived to bring you glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
You have been listening to the CMC podcast. For more information about CMC, our different conferences, Christian school, college internship, resources, and more, go to cmchurch.com.